One that is very glaring is the continuing disproportionate representation of indigenous people in the criminal justice system. Many of them remain being incarcerated, and that speaks to a problem with the way those communities are policed, as well as the way the criminal justice system is dealing with the challenges faced by indigenous peoples. There is also the question of very high levels of unemployment of indigenous peoples relative to the non-indigenous populations, and the marginalization of indigenous people from the benefits of economic prosperity in Australia.
Your mandate is racism, so connecting the dots, does that mean that some of these conditions are due to racism?
If you are going to address the conditions and the situation of indigenous people, you have to go back to the historical context of where indigenous people find themselves in this country. That history is very well known. That history was very much framed by racism, and there's need for a conversation about racism and the way racial ideas have placed indigenous people where they are, and the continuing discrimination. In many cases, I heard of instances of daily humiliation where indigenous people, for instance, in a convenience store, they are checked by security guards, whereas non-indigenous peoples are not checked.
So during that conversation that you say needs to be had, what would you recommend the Australian government to do?
A number of recommendations. One of them, of course, is to take advantage of the whole period and discussion of reconciliation as well as constitutional amendment to reopen that debate at different levels, to set targets of what needs to be achieved, both at the national or communal level as well as state level. Specifically, for instance, I noted that they are not justice targets at the communal level. They are justice targets at state levels in some places. But it's also the complete devastation or absence of an indigenous economy. The fact that indigenous peoples remain outside the economic life and don't have an economy raises very significant challenges as their future with regard to their functioning effectively in the Australian society.
You're concerned by remarks made by elected politicians about newly arrived migrants, and in particular Muslims. What type of things were said, and how do you describe this type of speech?
I am aware of politicians who have stereotyped certain migrants as probably their values not being compatible with the values of the majority of Australians. I know of politicians who have singled out certain migrants of Muslim background, for instance. Those raises concern, particularly in a country that is multicultural in nature. Moreover, what it does is basically create a perception that people of certain faith, people of certain racial or ethnic origin are not welcome in Australia. I don't think that's the kind of future that Australia stands for. And it's very important that unequivocally those kind of statements are denounced and censured.
You mentioned in your press conference today that now's the time to revisit all these issues. Is that due to the rise of the populist vote globally? And also, have you seen sort of instances here that may happen in Australia as well?
Yes, of course. And it's very well known in Australia that there are certain elected members of parliament who have been elected on these xenophobic platforms of hatred and racism. And similar developments globally. It's very clear these kind of politicians have to be confronted. They have to be challenged, they have to be delegitimized, and they should not be allowed to become part of the mainstream because they don't belong in the mainstream of open, democratic, rights-respecting societies.